As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with him. And he turned to the 12 and said, "Do you also want to leave?" Now this question, "Do you also want to leave? Will you also leave me?" This is a question that will come to us in many forms in life and in many forms in our priesthood. In moments of despair, in moments of loneliness, in moments of selfishness, will we also leave him? Now this question, "Will we also leave him?" is so important that we hear it twice given to us by the church. So we hear it in ordinary time, this is the conclusion of the whole Bread of Life discourse we've been hearing all this week. But we hear it in ordinary time through Sundays, spread out for kind of fuller digestion, usually through the summer months. Today we're given it to us by the church in the context of Easter. And I want to pull apart why that's a whole different context for answering this. If we think about right now, the context that Peter gives, why should we stay with him? What he says, he points to who Jesus is, that he is convinced, that they have become to be convinced that he is the Holy One of God. So let's pause for a moment and think why to be convinced. That we need to know why. We need to know who he is. We need to be sure of who he is if we not also in some moment of weakness are not to leave him. And first let's think about, at this moment in the gospel, the reasons St. Peter would have known who he was. He had already manifested himself to be no ordinary man, a man who worked many miracles, who walked on the water, who at the very beginning of this Bread of Life discourse fed the 5,000, who calmed the storm. He's the one who, after St. Peter, after the resurrection, describes, sums it all up, saying he went about doing good. That what already at this stage in the gospel had St. Peter seen, he'd seen this was a man who was good, who looked on the crowds and had compassion on them, who reached out to the lost. He was a man who, when he spoke not like other men. Many of you know one of my favorite images in the gospel is that moment, the first time his guards are sent to arrest him, they return empty-handed and they just say, "No one has ever spoken like this man." And amidst it all, he claims what no one else has ever, in a sense, been foolish enough to claim, made divine claims, claims to do what only God can do, to forgive sin, to change the law of Moses, claim to be God, in such a way that they didn't laugh at him, but they crucified him as a blasphemer. And for all of this, at this stage in the gospel, Peter is able to say, "We have become convinced you are the Holy One of God." But today the church gives us this same text in the light of the resurrection, gives us this text in the context of Easter. And this is a whole new reason to understand, to be convinced of this claim, that the tomb is empty and no worldly explanation can explain it. The witnesses have seen him after his resurrection, credible witnesses, witnesses whose testimony rings true, who don't change their story, who stick to their story right up to martyrdom. That he has risen, as he said. And this is the one who claims, as we've been hearing all this week, who claims to give us his flesh for us to eat, who says, "Unless you eat my flesh, you cannot have life within you." that you must come to him if the thirst within you is to be quenched, who promises to abide with us. A last thought, a reason not to leave him, is actually this very claim that we hear brought to a synthesis, this whole Bread of Life discourse, the claim that he abides with us. That what corresponds to the deepest needs in my heart, I need a God who is with me, who isn't just a philosophical first cause out there somewhere. I need a God who is close to me, who is with me, a God who feeds me. That when I'm lonely, where is he? He's here. When I'm weak and I need nourishment, where is he? He's here. When I get lost amidst all the busyness and paper deadlines and everything else, where is he? He's here. So in summary, do you also want to leave? Like Peter, we need to be clear, we need to recall continually who it is, who he is. This is the how Peter answers the question, that he was no ordinary man, we might say no ordinary God. And he's proved who he claimed to be, proved in the light of his resurrection that he has the power to give everything that he has promised. To whom else shall we go?